There we go. Hello, everybody. Guess what? It's Totally Local Podcast. That's right. It's the time again of the year to do another podcast every week. Monmouth County, Ocean County, Jersey Shore's most colorful characters, entrepreneurs, and local businesses. We love it. You love it. Totally_local_podcast on Instagram. Totally Local Podcast on Facebook. Check us out because that's what we do and that's what we talk about. And that's just to give you a little snapshot of what we're about. But guess what, people? We're talking to a photographer this week. And Michael Lewis Media. We're talking to Michael from Michael Lewis Media. How's it going, Michael?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
We're doing pretty good. Aaron Levine, LG Insurance. Sorry for the delay, folks. Today, not only was I, you know, making making sure everything was working here on a technical aspect, but Aaron's always doing business. We always start the show, and he's always like, hold on. But that's okay. You know, he's hydrating. He's ready to go. He's ready to face the day. Aaron, LG Insurance, how are you doing, man?
I'm getting my caffeine fix right now because this morning was a little bit quick. Uh-huh. Out the door, in and out with the kids, and kids not sleeping, and all that, all that beautiful stuff.
Isn't that fun?
Mike, you have a new baby at home, right?
Yeah, there must have been something in the air last night, man. I have an 8 week old,
oh boy,
and a 2.5 year old, and. The 2.5 year old, he was up from like 11:30 till like 3 a.m. I don't know what was going on,
but
I don't know. There was something in the air last night for sure.
You have to like, you just had like, I don't want to say like every night when I go to bed, I'm like, please just let this be the night where they just sleep, you know, where he just sleeps through the night and everything's good. Cause you never know. It's like, you're always on call basically for like 18 years.
With two, they seem to time it so that one sleeps and the other one stays awake.
Oh, man.
It's like they like instinctually know each other's sleep schedules, and they time it so that you don't sleep. One's always awake.
Andrew, I think we need like a daddy daycare podcast. Like, yeah. I mean, we totally could just, you know, do daddy stories.
Oh, yeah.
for days on end.
Flock of dads. I've wanted to do that before because there's a lot of there's new dads, there's dads with one kid thinking about having another kid, there's dads, expectant dads that have kids on the way, and it's like, you know, I think every dad after they have, every parent, but specifically, you know, every dad has that look in their eye like when you're trying, you can't really explain it to somebody, you know, and not to sound like, you know, whatever, but like, you can't explain it to somebody that doesn't have a kid, but everybody that does have a kid, you kind of look at each other and you kind of just know, you know, that it's chaos. You don't know what the hell's going on. And you're often thinking about, what was I doing before all this happened? And, you know, I don't know.
Can't figure it out.
No.
I mean, I want that t-shirt that says defeated dad, because that's what it is.
Aaron, I think you don't even need the t-shirt. Your face just says it.
Wow. Just put your face on the shirt.
What a compliment. I'm saying, like, the face. No. The collective of dads.
The collective faces.
It says it.
I get it.
The tie. I'm like looking at my, at my reflection in the camera, and I'm like, "Yep, tired AF."
Yeah.
My wife, you know, before I put this shirt on, I just had like a faded T-shirt on, and obviously, like, I've done nothing with my hair, and she was like, "You're gonna wear that shirt?" And I was like, "All right, I guess I'll pretend like I tried and put on a nice shirt."
Even though
we're both only running on like 3 hours of sleep.
You got to do what you got to do, man. You got to get out there. Speaking of running on very little sleep, having children, having your own business, and dealing with the apocalypse that is upon us, you know, we are obviously making do. Michael, what you know, you have obviously a photography business. You know, when all this hit, you know, you must have known you had to pivot somewhat because you had to, like, you know, continue your business. How did you adjust to it, like, right off the bat?
Off the bat, to be honest, you know, like so many other people, there was so much uncertainty and so much fear, and no one really knew what was going on. You know, I the last wedding that I shot before everything happened was on March 7th. And, you know, it was like a week or two after that everything shut down. And, you know, I didn't shoot until maybe June.
Oh, wow.
You know, just because there was, you know, obviously the wedding industry pretty much shut down, and there was still a lot of fear about even doing like outdoor portrait sessions. So it really wasn't until like June, July that, you know, there was this sense of like, all right, I think it's okay to, you know, do like some socially distanced photo shoots, outdoors and that sort of thing. You know, as far as like my own personal, adjustment, you know, I feel like the industry as a whole, really had to adjust, you know, particularly with weddings. You know, there was this shift from like big ballrooms and big, venues, obviously that couldn't really happen. To people doing more like intimate backyard weddings. And, you know, on the one hand, people were kind of bummed because they had these big grandiose, you know, weddings planned, you know, with bands and DJs and all this kind of stuff. And they kind of had to shift to more downscale backyard weddings or smaller venues that would, you know, outdoor venues, kind of hybrid venues that would allow them to be outdoors at the same time. But you know, what I was going to say is it actually was kind of nice. It's been really nice to have these like smaller, intimate, you know, gatherings of people where, you know, you can tell there's been like a lot of thought and a lot of attention to detail. And, you know, when you're hosting something at your own home in your own backyard, there's definitely this sense of like, I don't know, it feels a little more intimate. It feels a little more, you know, you're closer to the event, you're closer to the people. So that's been kind of nice. You know, long-term, you know, no one really knows what's going to happen in 2021. You know, hopefully, you know, there was some good news in the last week with this new vaccine. You know, there's everyone who had big weddings in 2020 who still wanted to have their big wedding postponed to 2021. So any photographer you talk to about next year, it's like going to be their busiest, biggest year, ever. But who even knows if that's going to stay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, long-term I've been looking to kind of pivot to doing more, you know, families, headshots, portrait sessions, kind of filling up my calendar that way. And actually kind of branching out into some more, you know, consistent areas of photography, like real estate, you know, that the social distancing aspect is a lot easier. The work is consistent, especially with the real estate industry right now in this area. So that's in the immediate what I've been thinking, but long term, I really don't know where the wedding industry is going to go. So there's a little bit of like trying to pivot to make things work right now, and also hoping and praying that weddings as they were come back, but at the same time not really knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a realist, but I'm an optimist. I mean, I think it is going to kind of go back to somewhat of a normal scenario, especially, you know, people love to party. People love weddings for the most part. I don't know, you know, how you do it. It seems like, you know, there's some bridezillas out there. I'm sure there's some groomzillas out there. I don't know, like, when you're sitting down to do that, do you really get a feel? Do you get a feel for the person, like on that first introductory, like when they're interviewing photographers? Is there a point where you'll say like, oh, these people are insane and I have to run, or like are you more of like a battle hardened, like ready to go and just do whatever you need to make these people look like, you know, not monsters and happy on their wedding day?
So, little fun fact, I actually photographed Aaron's wedding. And the first time I met him, I was like, wow, this dude's going to be a total groomzilla.
Wow.
Oh, man. I could see that. I thought the exact same thing actually, when I met him. I was like, he's a groomzilla.
No, Aaron and Casey, they're fantastic. I had such a good time doing their wedding. And actually, that was kind of like when I was first like really starting to get into wedding photography more seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, but to answer your question, you know, I'm pretty fortunate in that a lot of, I get a lot of my couples through, like word of mouth. So, you know, I already have like some sort of established connection with them. And, you know, I work pretty hard to kind of develop that rapport and make sure that, you know, they feel comfortable with me. Cause I think a lot of that, like bridezilla, groomzilla stuff kind of comes from that fear of like, am I going to get the photos that I want? Am I going to have the kind of day that I want? You know, so the more that you can do to prepare ahead of time, you know, make sure that you've set the expectation of, you know, what you're going to do, where you're going to be, what kind of photos you're going to get. You know, the more you do that up front, the more you're setting yourself up for, you know, a good wedding day. And to be honest with you, any issue that I've had on a wedding day, 99% of the time doesn't come from the couple. It comes from someone in the family.
Oh, hell yeah.
So it's the mother, it's the mother of the bride.
They, you know, people will come out of the woodwork and, you know, be offering crazy suggestions. Do you work with, like, do you have an assistant or you just roll solo in there when you're doing a wedding?
So it depends on how big the wedding is. You know, I do shoot some on my own. I do have like a network of people that I shoot with who I can ask to assist me. I also assist a lot of other people too. And, you know, I'm pretty picky with who I choose to work with. Just not to sound like snooty or anything. I've honestly just been fortunate to kind of fall into working with people who, I really like and really share like that common core value of, you know, just wanting to get the most for the couple. And,
do you get, you know, like,
I have a mentor who,
oh, you have a mentor. Oh
yeah.
Nice.
No, go ahead.
No. Call
her my mentor.
Uh-huh. That's good.
So when I first made the decision to like really into, you know, this whole wedding industry, I reached out to some people that I knew. And, you know, someone who, had actually shot a wedding of a friend of mine, I reached out to her, and, she works more out of the Philly area. She gets a lot of her weddings in like Philly suburbs and that sort of thing. But she's kind of been like my wedding photography mentor, not just in terms of like the creative aspect, but in terms of, you know, what am I doing to prepare for this day? What am I doing to set the right expectations with the bride and the groom? How am I setting up the timeline for the day? And how am I acting on a wedding day? You know, like, am I acting professional? Am I staying positive? Am I staying, even though in my mind I may be like, oh my God, this day is like totally getting out of hand.
like Aaron's
like
wedding.
You can't say that.
Far from it. We were up in Vermont. We had
destination wedding. Come on.
You know, it was so chill. It was so
top
great.
Of the
it
top awesome. Of the mountain. I mean, talk about the backdrop and the scenery that we
that's beautiful.
We had, and we had some good, nice blue skies, warm weather because it was July. It wasn't. It wasn't January in Vermont. It was July in Vermont. So
that's hot.
It was,
but I guess you're on a mountain.
It was perfect. It was beautiful. Perfect. It was like
great weather.
It was like 75 degrees. It was sunny. You guys had arranged for the ski lift to be on, and we took that ski lift up to the top of the mountain, and we did some portraits up there, and yeah, it was awesome. That was such a cool experience.
What what I've noticed at weddings, which is first of all, videographers, like I don't get that. I like a nice photographer. I want some still photos. I don't think, you know, videographers are annoying. Second thing that's annoying is everybody becomes with these newfangled phones, everybody's friggin' Ansel Adams, and they all think that they could take these friggin' pictures, and that's super annoying, especially if you're walking down the aisle and everyone has their phone out and you're like, bro, like you're ruining my pictures that I'm getting done, and B, you're not gonna watch your shaky ass video of me trotting up the aisle. That's like absurd. So everyone, put your friggin' phones away and let the photographers awesome. Do their job. Oh, what was I talking about? Anyway, the other thing that bothers me is that you know, you see these photographers sometimes, and they get like all up in the grill, like they, you know, the ceremony's going on and they're like all up in there, and it's like, isn't there some kind of like telephoto lens or, you know, whatever those like people use on the side of soccer fields? Like, can't you just get in the back and get the out of the way? Like, how do you, you know, when you're dealing with with this stuff, have you kind of evolved your process, or are these things that come up where people are like, we want you to get as close as friggin' possible, or do you try to kind of, you know, keep your distance or kind of be aware of the surroundings?
So I think you just basically vocalized so many photographers' like inner dialogues during weddings. But yeah, I mean, as far as the you know, during the ceremony, like trying not to get up in people's grills, so I've actually kind of had the opposite problem. You know, I've kind of had this issue of like, you know, how much do I want to impose myself to, in the event to get the shot, right? Mm-hmm. And when I first started out, I was like super timid and like super, you know, like didn't want to get anywhere near the action. So I've kind of had to like force myself to get a little bit more into the action. But yeah, I'm the same way. Like I, you know, sometimes I see photographers like getting right up in there and I like, I cringe. I'm like, ugh, you know, like I start getting really tight and yeah, I mean, I understand you got to get the shot, but at the same time, there's gotta be this like, dude, you're not the one getting married. You know,
you're not you gotta get the shot. It's gotta be all worth it. You know, yeah. Just gotta do what you gotta do to get the shot.
Right. And if you're gonna get in there, if you're gonna impose yourself, like you better get a pretty epic photo. Like you better make it like worth the,
they really better look like they love the mission. What do you, speaking of like getting the, you know, I looked through the pictures on your website and, you know, obviously you're capturing great shots. People are like, you know, smiling and stuff. How do you make sure like, you know, that you capture those, you know, you don't want people to look miserable and you got to cheer them up. Do you like bring like a clown nose or do you have like one liners or something? How do you make sure people are like smiling and chipper?
Honestly, it just comes down to making people feel comfortable, right? Yeah. So if you're yourself and, you know, you're happy and upbeat, you know, they're going to be happy and upbeat too. You know, there are some things that I do to try to get them to feel more comfortable. And actually, you know, one of the things I do is, a lot of times I'll have them like whisper things into each other's ear that I can't hear.
Okay.
Right. So like, they kind of have this little moment, huh, right, with each other, and which I'm kind of like separate from, mm-hmm, but capturing, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good move, right?
But
there.
when all else fails, I just tell them I ripped one, and that always gets them to laugh too.
And you just take the shot, right? That's good. That's a good idea. Wow, see the little behind the scenes tricks in order to make it work. Now you're, you know, in my extensive research, I see that you got your first maybe, you know, next level up. You leveled up with your camera and photography when you took a trip 2009 to Australia. Was this the start of you realizing you wanted to be a photographer, or was this like, I want to be a photographer, but I got the nicer camera and I'm really going to go out there and take pictures? Like when did you kind of begin this journey as wanting to start your own business as a photographer?
Yeah. So long story short, you know, I went to school in Boston. I studied business. I have a marketing degree, a management degree. And, you know, I worked in, you know, marketing research for about a year. And it was right before like the whole financial crisis hit in 2008. Mm-hmm. And, you know, got laid off shortly thereafter. And, you know, to be honest, I kind of floundered for a bit. I didn't really know, you know, what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. And, you know, but I always had like photography as just kind of this like thing that I like to do to kind of pass the time. I had like a little, you know, Canon point and shoot camera that was like 6 megapixels at the time, which was like, you know, if anyone knows what megapixels are, like 6 is like nothing nowadays, but at the time it was like, oh wow, 6 megapixels. Holy anyway crap. So I planned to go to Australia with like a bunch of my friends from high school to go to one of our friends' weddings. And you know, right beforehand, it must have been like a Black Friday deal or something like that, you know, I splurged and you know, bought a Canon DSLR camera. I honestly, I didn't do any research on it. I didn't know what I was buying really. I was just like, okay, everyone talks about DSLRs. This one is cheap. I'm going to buy it.
There you go. Rip it and rip it.
So exactly. So, you know, I kind of broke myself in on, you know, learning how to shoot, with a DSLR over like the next year or so. And, you know, for me, it was like a very slow progression of at first just kind of shooting nature and you know, going on like little adventures with myself and like, you know, driving out to the beach in the morning to go photograph the sunrise, to kind of, you know, friends here and there would ask me like, hey, can you do like, you know, headshots for me or whatever? And at the time, you know, I was like so new, like I'm don't even want to say like how much I charge for it. Like,
you know, start somewhere, like, man. You got to start. Yeah,
exactly.
He charged me a lot more than that last week when we when we did my family photos. But when you look at the end result, you know, we got a pretty good turnout. I got Andrew. Can I share the screen?
Yeah.
Enable me to share. I'm disabled. I mean, my screen is disabled.
Let's see. Share.
Not enabled. I gotta show off my kids and Mike's work.
What about now? Can you share now?
Because, oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Let's see what we got here. Whoa.
You know, so look at those cute kids captured at the beach on Sandy Hook, and Mike was good. He remembered to bring his camera, his lights, and even the film that goes in the camera, that little card. So I don't know if I've told this story, but a couple of weeks ago I did a photo shoot. I'm not going to say for who or for what. I don't want to shout anybody out.
Epic shouts to messing it up.
But we had a private jet and a runway, and we were at an airport. And a photographer shows up and he's like, I forgot my SD card.
Rule number one, bring the film. Rule number two, bring the camera.
Like, Mike, have you ever forgot the film?
Be honest.
Knock on wood, no. I have not ever forgotten an SD card. I was telling Aaron told me the story last week when we were out at the beach. And honestly, when he told me that, I had like an anxiety attack. That's like every photographer's biggest fear is showing up and being like, oh my God, the one thing that I need to do this, like, you know, I don't have.
So we wound up shooting it with an iPhone, right? So tell me the difference between a phonetographer and a photographer. Like, let's get some real nitty gritty about these pictures that, you know, our fancy phones take compared to, you know, the work that you do with these mega expensive cameras.
Well, I mean, I'm not Mr. Techie, but, you know, but I was telling you the other day, you know, some of these phones, you know, like, I mean, I can't really speak to Android because I'm not an Android guy, but like, you know, iPhones, like the new iPhone 11 and 12, like they have pretty sweet cameras. I'm not going to lie. Like I look at, you know, some of the photos that my mom and my, you know, my brother-in-law and my sister take with their phones. And I'm just like, wow, like that's unbelievable. I mean, technically the big difference though, right? So these phones now have like portrait mode where you can like create this like artificial bokeh in the background. And you know, for those who don't know, bokeh is that like blurred effect in the background when you're focusing on something up front. But in the phone, that's all happening with software, right? So the phone, the sensor is like picking up the subject in the foreground and then artificially blurring the background. In a camera with like a, you know, with a lens, right? When you drop the f-stop, you know, the aperture down to something like 2.8 or 1.8, it's literally focusing on one point, and then mechanically the background is blurred. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's just the difference between software and hardware doing the work. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say, like some of these phones, you know, they can create like pretty astonishingly accurate results with some of this stuff.
But it's more than, you know, it's more than just, you know, the equipment. It's you know what you were kind of saying before, how you gain the experience, how you kind of know how to, you know, frame a shot and stuff like that. So it's not just, it just doesn't seem like it's just, you know, the phone, but I mean, I guess it comes down to like the experience of it. If you know how to like take a good shot, you know, photography in its infancy was looked at as like, as far as an art form, it wasn't even considered like an art form. You know, people were like looking at it like, this is ridiculous. But I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, as time evolves, I guess the technology evolves and you kind of have to go with it. And I could only kind of relate it to the idea of like somebody like, you know, say a wedding DJ where somebody's like, oh, you know, I know how to play music. I can do that. But there's so much more to making sure people are having fun, that you're playing the right stuff, that everyone's staying like in the right frame of mind. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to defend the I don't want to defend photography as a career too much, but it seems like there's a lot more to it than just pointing at something and hitting a button.
Yeah, well, if you're talking wedding photography, You know, there are, I'm sure, plenty of talented photographers who would be terrible wedding photographers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason being is it's not just taking the photo, right? It's dealing with people. It's managing stress. It's, you know, and my mentor talks about this all the time, right? Like 10% of what we actually do as photographers is actually taking the photos, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much more work that happens on the back end in terms of, you know, marketing and contracts and editing and, you know, taxes and actually, you know, running a business, right? And I'll be the first to say, like, please don't ask me any questions about, like, business management, running a business, because like I need someone to really help me with that, because I really don't know what I'm doing with all that stuff. But as far as you know, like managing people and dealing with people and shooting the photos, you know, like that's what I love, right? Like that's where I want to be, and that's what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And actually that's kind of why I love assisting other photographers so much, because I don't have to deal with any of that front end, you know, booking, you know, contracts, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I just show up the day of the wedding, put a smile on, have a good face on, take the photos, give my memory cards over to the photographer. Mm-hmm. I'll see you later. You know?
Has there ever been times, like, say, for Aaron's wedding or anybody, where, like, the groom pulled you aside and was like, could you make my butt, like, bigger? Could you make it, like... Has anyone ever pulled you aside, like Aaron, and been like, listen, could you just work
on my... Why does it have to be me? I mean, I know I'm right here. I'm an easy target.
I'm a hypothetical. So did anyone like Aaron ever put you aside and do that?
How about not my butt? Bigger, you know, bigger guns.
Yeah, I've never look ever in my had face a groom come up to me and say, yeah, I need my butt to look bigger.
How about a bride?
Has a bride ever been like,
so look... Someone... Inevitably, at any session, wedding, family, portrait, whatever, someone always makes that joke where, you know, they're joking, but they're also a little bit serious. Like, hey, can you Photoshop this or can you Photoshop that? Like, yeah, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do your best to deal with it. But, you know, it's very rare that I actually pull something into Photoshop mm-hmm. to fix it.
Oh, that's good.
Because so many times you can make those adjustments while you're shooting. You don't really have to do it after the fact.
It's all angles.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really had a good look at Aaron's butt, so I don't know what I would do.
Well, we're going to have to do a photo shoot now. We have to do a little photo shoot, but we'll talk about that afterwards.
We'll arrange that.
As far as work now, you mentioned that, like, it's you know, obviously the wedding stuff is shifted, and I've noticed on your Instagram and on your Facebook and obviously on your website, you're doing like family stuff. It seems like, you know, at one point over the course of the year, you were doing like it seemed like you were doing like socially distant, like safe stuff where people were like at their house and you were kind of far away from them, kind of a thing. So have people approached you, or were you kind of like seeing like, all right, how can I keep the photography, how can I keep my photography since the wedding stuff is to the side, where can I pivot in order to make sure that I'm still doing what I'm passionate about?
Well, like I said, I didn't shoot from, you know, the beginning of March until like the end of June. So you know, there were some people, you know, going around doing those like front porch sessions, mm-hmm. You know, where like, you know, the families would kind of stay, you know, on their front stoop and the photographer would take photos from like the curb. You know, I didn't really get into that. But you know, for me, it was kind of a combination of like, all right, I'm starting to see more and more photographers getting out there and doing work. Right. Cause you know, for a while there was this like, it was tough because you wanted to work, you wanted to be creating something, you wanted to be making money, but you also really had to account for people's safety. And there was, you know, there was a lot of backlash actually, and a lot of like judgment, you know, coming from people who were like, why are you risking people's safety, you know, to shoot these photos? And you know, so for me, I really kind of laid low for a while. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't want to really get into all that. So you know, I
remember
really
seeing those posts all over, like, oh, there's somebody outside taking pictures. We're all going to get infected. You know, like the Karen patrol is out, like, oh no, you're 20 feet away from them. You know, he's going to cause the whole world to blow up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So like, I really didn't want any part of that. So, you know, I kind of waited until, you know, I felt good. I felt good enough about, all right, you know, there's definitely, you know, things are at least, you know, the numbers are heading in the right direction. You know, I see more and more people going out and shooting outdoors. You know, I had a friend ask me about doing some maternity photos for her and her partner. And, you know, so we went out to a lair and, you know, did like this socially distanced shoot. And, you know, after that, I was like, all right, cool. That felt really good. And, you know, everyone felt comfortable. So, you know, and then at that point, I think people had enough time, you know, as far as the weddings go, to kind of like shift their plans a little bit. And, you know, so like end of July, beginning of August, that's kind of when, for me anyway, started picking up with some of these like backyard socially distanced weddings, and you know, weddings at like some smaller outdoor restaurant venues, that sort of thing.
So
but yeah, like I really laid low for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, figuring out. I think some people did. If honestly, if Aaron didn't come in and you know, kind of scramble with helping me with the podcast, I don't know if we would be doing this whole Zoom thing right now, but it, you know, you kind of just have to evolve and do what you're comfortable with, you know.
And now you can't get rid of me.
Now, you know, now Aaron's just part of it, and he's taking the show out of state. He's going to Florida next week. Big announcement. Oh, wow. We're doing the Snowbird episode, and since there's, you know, my my wife is here with our 11-month-old, so I got to make sure that that I'm here and I'm not going to Florida with him. But we'll figure that out in the future. Somehow, some way, I will get to Florida. But you know, it's been a great ride. And kind of along those ideas of adjustments, you know, you mentioned maternity. Obviously, you're taking pictures of family, and then yoga poses. I haven't seen any other business where it's like, you know, I guess it makes sense, but you know, I know a lot of yoga teachers. My wife is in the yoga community, but they love going outside and doing like stretchy things and things with their hands and like sunlight in the background. Epic shouts to Jody Coburn. She does yoga. She was our first guest on the podcast. But how did that you know, how did somebody approach you? Were you in class doing like downward dog, and the teacher was like, listen, I hear you're a photographer. Like, how did you get into the whole yoga styly of it all?
Sorry, I can't get over the downward dog thing.
Just like kind of get in your face, like, excuse me, hi, namaste. Yeah. I hear you're a photographer.
So a while back, I had a friend who, you know, was just starting to get into teaching yoga, and she needed, you know, some headshots and some yoga type poses, some photos. So, you know, I did a couple sessions with her, and you know, I just kind of did those. Like I'd never shot yoga before, so that was kind of like a new thing for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, more recently, my wife reconnected with a friend of hers who has a pretty like thriving yoga business and teaches prenatal yoga. And you know, when my wife was pregnant with my first son, you know, she was doing prenatal yoga with her, and I just kind of reached out to her on a whim and was like, hey. Hey, you know, this is like an area that I want to get more into. You know, are you willing to like do a shoot with me? You know, and she said yes, and you know, the results were awesome, and you know, from that, I honestly, it's an area like I really enjoy, right? Because at one time, you know, I had 30 pounds less on me, and I was a pretty regular yoga attendee.
Nice.
You know, now I'm like lugging two kids around and like hunched over like a, you know, like
yoga.
A hunchback, and like that's daddy.
Yeah,
that's what we get.
It's a new class we're teaching.
So I guess maybe it's also kind of like a subconscious want or need to be more healthy, be more be more flexible. So at least if I'm like around people like that, you know, I feel a little bit better about myself.
Yeah. I miss yoga. I used to do yoga. I love yoga. I don't do yoga right now, but we should do a totally local, a totally yoga episode. Ooh. Where we're just doing yoga the whole time. The other thing I'd like to do is I'm inspired by all these
dad
shots.
Yoga.
Yeah, dad yoga. Perfect.
Ming would join us for that too. You know, he's a yogi.
That's how I know. I know Ming through the yoga community, through my, I know Ming because of my wife, because they were both, you know, all about the yoga community. I by these shots I'm looking, I think that basically we really need to hire Michael Lewis Media to do a totally local photo shoot, but I want it to be totally local, but I want it to be during a beautiful time of the day. So it's nice and like, you know, beautiful magic hour. And I like some of these shots where people are like running and like jumping, or like running down the beach path, or maybe doing some stretches. So I'd like to do a totally local photo shoot, but in the vein of a yoga. I want that yoga vibe, but I want it to be, you know, I think that's what we're gonna have to figure this out. It is getting not so nice out, but I'm sure you could pick a picturesque spot even in the fall or winter to kind of accommodate. Would you say that's possible?
Oh, we can make that happen. And nice. And honestly, I have to give a shout out to Katie Carolla at Spiral Path Yoga. She was, you know, at the end of the shoot that I did with her, she was like, I'm just going to run down the beach and jump. And I was like, okay. She's like, yeah, it almost always makes for something fun. So, you know, that was totally her idea. I have to give her credit for that. But, you know, if you guys want to, you know, dress up in some like yoga attire.
I don't know how good, you know,
some running, jumping down the beach photos.
Yeah, yes.
We could definitely make that happen.
We might hire some yoga people too to come with us, so that they could do stretches around us, and then we could just kind of stand there like straight, you know, so we look like we're doing yoga just by association. I think that might be the way to go.
You can just stick with Shavasana.
There you go.
And you'll be good.
Ooh,
oh, perfect.
I could go for a little bit of that right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I feel like that's a good idea. All right. Well, Michael, you know, thank you so much for sitting and talking to us today. What's the best way, you know, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you? Is it through your website or?
Yeah, well, you can email me at michaellewismedia@gmail.com. You can DM me at Michael Lewis Media on Instagram. I actually have a couple of different Instagram accounts. At one time, you know, when I was talking about, I was doing all the like the beach and nature stuff. I had a pretty pretty big following on my at Michael Lewis Surf and Sea account.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't been able to really do much with that lately, just because you know, kids like to wake up early and
they do.
You know, getting out to the beach for sunrise doesn't really happen anymore. So.
I feel you.
Those are some ways you can get in touch with me.
All right, cool. Well, Michael, again, thank you for joining us today. Aaron, as we mentioned, we'll be in Miami next week celebrating the Snowbird Edition with some special guests. We'll be talking all about that. Guys, this has been Totally Local Podcast. I want to thank my guest, Michael, from Michael Lewis Media, photography of all kinds. Check him out. You know his deal. Totally Local Podcast, totally_local_podcast on Instagram, totallylocalpodcast.com. Aaron, thank you so much, LG Insurance, for putting all this together. Can't wait to see more of these wedding shots I've heard so much about of you on top of a mountain. Everyone, thank you so much. I will see you guys next time.